This is Liz Lavender in conversation with Tanwyn Watson. When did you first hear about No Fit State? What was your first encounter with the circus?
My first encounter with No Fit State Circus was in somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but somewhere in North Wales. They were doing Immortal maybe 3, and yeah, it was either 2 or 3, and I went with my mum and sisters and some cousins and went and saw Immortal, and that was my first encounter with No Fit State. And I remembered just being blown away by something that you kind of felt more involved in normally than another audience member. The big images, that there was a cargo net which people were swinging off and going up and down in, and hula hoops, and just all this kind of crazy wild energy. And yeah, that was my first encounter of knowing that they existed.
So that was in the Silver Tent?
Yes.
Would that have been Colwyn Bay?
Yes, probably.
Perhaps. Or, I think we only did Colwyn Bay. Might have been a later one, but I don't think so.
My sister Freya, she went into The Last Immortal, which was 5. So I know it was a good couple of years before that, because she had to train for a year and then for a couple of years and then do baseline and then went in. So it was maybe Immortal 2. Possibly 3, but I think 2.
I think it was 2.
Yeah.
I think it was Colwyn Bay.
Okay.
What roles do you play with the circus now?
Now I have a mix. I mix between rigging, teaching and performing. So I kind of combine all 3.
And where did you train then?
I originally trained in performing arts, but then wanted to go into circus. I did a BTEC in performing arts and AS drama, but wanted to perform more physically. So then I went to Circomedia, and they had a 1-year course then. So I did the 1-year course at Circomedia, and I stayed around in Bristol for a year or two after training, and then decided that I wanted to have a higher level of training. So I auditioned and got onto the degree at Circus Space. Then I left the degree early and came and worked for No Fit State Circus. So I left the circus school to go to the circus, which all the people on the course were like, "What? You've got a job already?"
And what show is that on then?
That was, it kind of happened in a roundabout way. So because I'd done circus already, I knew a bit more about different apparatus. I tried different apparatus out being at Circomedia and in Bristol for a few years. So I had a clearer idea than, say, other people on my course who were gymnasts, never done any, or come from more of a dance background that hadn't done any circus. I had much more of a clearer idea about specialisation. And I liked group work, so I wanted to do either flying trapeze or cradle or there was one possibility of doing double swinging trapeze with another girl at Circus Space. And the way it works there is that the first 2 terms in the first year, you try things and they kind of guide you into some directions of specialisation, and kind of by the 3rd term you should then start to have specialisation classes. And because I was already with Marcella, who was currently in Taboo and No Fit State, I knew that there was a job becoming available to do the live camera for the 2nd year of Taboo. And I said, I'd like to do that because I'm comfortable in harnesses, so I'll be able to climb up the poles and film from different angles for the live footage for the show. And so I got that job, which meant that I left Circus Space because they wanted me to do dynamic swinging trapeze, and I wasn't feeling like I wanted to do a solo swinging trapeze act. And there was dynamic static trapeze was a possibility, and I just didn't feel like to spend all that money on a degree for something that my heart wasn't fully in was the right thing. So I decided to accept the job and go touring with No Fit, and then film the shows in the evenings, and in the daytimes get trained up in flying trapeze. And also I already had my own little specialist bit of kit made, which is small aerial rings, so I could train them and I could learn flying trapeze over that year. So I did that and got paid to do that instead. So I was really lucky for this opportunity, because for flying trapeze, to be able to do that and to get into shows, you really need some sort of opportunity like that. After that first initial year, I went into the show for the third year of Taboo. And yeah, so it was
it's good you saying all that, because it kind of makes... good to see, as I can remember you with your camera, and I can remember you doing the, and it's nice hearing that little story. Yeah. Sorry, it's a private story, but
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you audition at any time? And if so, how was your audition?
I think Forenza did ask me. It's kind of blurred now, but I think I did have to go to some auditions and do something, and it was quite, yeah, I had to come to the dinner. I think I did my rings, and it was quite scary, and Forenza had kind of made it a bit clear that she would like me in the show if I didn't mess up and kind of could prove something. She'd kind of, not that clearly, but I could kind of gather that she was interested. So I managed to get an audition, and I did audition, and I was actually the first person for quite a while that then came in on an internship. So then I was the only person to do an internship for the third year of Taboo. So it was kind of taken more as an internship.
Right.
Which, you know, I was really happy for the opportunity anyway, and it was good. And now, there's several interns in 1 year, so they obviously like the model. And it worked.
Interesting. Okay, what's your favourite memory?
My favourite memory is probably doing the flying trapeze act.
Who did that with?
So it was myself, and then there was a Finnish couple called Kadia and Petri, and AD Delaney and Marcella. So there was four flyers and one catcher, and I just really, really liked that routine. And I thought just with the music and the whole atmosphere, and Marcella going crazy with the chalk and causing chaos, and just seeing, I don't know, I think the audience had, there was just a really nice rhythm and flow to the show that led up to the flying, that the audience, I don't know, they were just in the perfect state, and they were really, you know, in general, like, laughing loads, and just, there was, just seeing that kind of enjoyment from the audience was really, really nice to see every night. So, yeah, I'd say it was doing the flying.
And best place you've ever been to with the circus?
I really enjoyed La Tour in Montreal. I really, really enjoyed that venue.
Why?
Because you were somewhere so far away from home, number one, and it was, because moving from venue to venue in the tent, you've always got your space and you've always got the tent, and that was such a different space to work in, but to do the same show within a different space. And I really liked the city as well, and the energy and the atmosphere, and just for that show to go over there was, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I bet. Okay, and what are you doing now?
Now I am not doing so much flying trapeze, because it's really hard to keep a group together, because the jobs aren't continuous one from another, so it tends to have people in between disappearing to wherever they're getting work and money from, because we've all got more than one skill. So to keep a flying trapeze group together all the time is tough. Like, there hasn't been another flying trapeze troupe from the UK since Taboo. Also, I've got a little 2-year-old boy now, so going away for such long periods of time, I don't particularly want to do either. And Marcella doesn't just want to kind of follow me around, which is fair enough. Yeah.
So, and what do you do for No Fit State here?
At the moment, what I'm currently doing is running a teacher training program for current trainers to learn more about the technicalities of holding the safety lunge lines for flying and analysing the tricks and learning more in depth about the technique and tricks and what the possible dangers are with each trick, and just becoming more confident so that there are more trainers that can cover classes, because one of the main problems with flying trapeze is you can find one trainer, but they're not available, especially for the advanced classes, because the long lunge, you have to pull a lot of slack through before you get to a point, so it takes time and practice. So it's just getting them confident and comfortable and giving No Fit State more options of people that can take and cover their flying trapeze classes, basically.
And are those flying trapeze classes popular here?
They are. I think they are really popular. You get something different from it. Like, when I'm teaching static classes, there's more of, I found in flying trapeze, more of a mental challenge that people have to go through, and getting past some fear barriers and stuff, because you are basically stepping off into air. So I think it's really popular because it challenges the students in a different way, in a more of a mental way, but also getting quite a large adrenaline rush as well. So yeah, it's a nice mix, and I think they really enjoy that, and they keep booking back.
Can you see your next generation following in your footsteps?
Yes, I can, and I'm quite excited about the next generation, because I think that the level of training that is becoming available and kind of spreading throughout the UK is much higher than it has been, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and that the opportunities and amount of high-level circus trainers is increasing all the time, so they are basically at an advantage much younger.
Have you got a picture of you with your rings as well? Because you've mentioned that, actually, and that was a very you special thing in one of the shows. I quite like a picture of you with that equipment, if possible, rather than with all your things on. I just think it'd be nice to have you with that piece of equipment.
Yeah, my aero rings are really nice, and it's hard to think of something a bit different and something that's you as well. I actually had that idea by, I was trained with a friend who did silks, and she had an 8-year-old daughter, and I went to her school for the little Christmas pantomime, and on the side was like a wall that could be pulled out with ropes hanging off it and different things, and they had small rings one below the other for the kids to climb, a bit like a ladder but with rope connecting them. And I kind of nudged her as we were watching some other class doing some rather boring thing, waiting for her daughter to come on. I'm like, look at them over there, that's a really cool idea for aerial equipment. She's like, okay, let's we can get these made, we'll find out. And so we got 3 made each, and we were going to do synchro, but then she didn't really... It's funny how people choose different bits of equipment and what makes someone choose a tight wire instead of a rope. Like, there's a bit of a personality and personal thing in what equipment is chosen. So she didn't really click with it, so then I bought her 3 off and ended up with 6. And, it's nice to have that bit of equipment, because...
It's totally unique, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Got them made by some really lovely old men, amazing metal workers in Bristol. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. They were lovely. Okay, I think that's it. That's okay, cool. Brilliant. That's about 5 or 6 questions, and that takes me from where you've come from, where you've been. Thank you.
No worries.